Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Matt Kuplin on the line. He's president and CEO of Midwest Financial Group. Matt, welcome to the show.
Adam, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
All right, Matt. So these are my favorite interviews to do. Today we'll be announcing you as an author in one of our upcoming Mission Matters books. So really excited to get into that. First off, just want to say, hey, congrats on being selected as an author.
Yeah, thanks. I had a chance to take a peek at some of the people that I'm joining, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be part of this.
Yeah, great times. And then I'm also excited to get into Midwest Financial Group. I want to talk about financial planning a bit. For those that have been watching this show for a long time, they may know my background's in finance. But for those that are maybe newer to our program, we're going to do a deep dive into the value that Midwest Financial Group is offering its clients. But we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Matt, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Matt, what mission matters to you?
My mission is to protect my clients and their families, to empower them and to make sure that we can kind of remove some of the unknown and stress and anxiety that can come with planning for your future, that either the known that you know or the things that may pop up that you don't. And so by putting together a plan for our clients and, like I said, for their families, I think we can bring a lot of peace of mind. So maybe it sounds cliche to say that my mission is to help people, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's what we do.
No, I don't think it's cliche at all. And I love bringing advisors on the show and people that are in the process of helping individuals, whether it's money, whether it's tax, all these different things, because I don't think they get enough shine out there in media, because it's a tough thing to steward people, to steward their lives, and to steward what can many times be a scary conversation of money or what's next, whether someone's retiring, whether somebody's planning for retirement, they're planning for their kids' college. I mean, all these different things play into what's going to work and maybe hopefully some good outcomes, or if they're not planned for properly, maybe they sometimes miss some goals, and we'll talk about that. Where did all of this start for you? When did you kind of feel that you had that calling, or when did you kind of buy into this direction of, you know what, I want to help people and I want to help them with their money?
I mean, kind of an indirect route to get there. My education, my background is in marketing and business. And actually, I have a master's in sports business. I got out of school. I grew up in Illinois. I went and worked for the Milwaukee Brewers, the baseball team, right out of college with my sports background, even though I'm a giant Cubs fan. So that was fun. But I was up there, and during my time with that team, I had my mom, she was diagnosed with cancer and had been for a while, and she was battling that. My parents had been separated for quite a bit, and so she didn't really have a good support structure in the city that she was living in. So I moved back to be closer to her. And actually, when I came back there, because her diagnosis wasn't great, she wanted me to sit down and talk with her financial planner at the time, just so that someone else understood if something were to happen, you know, what she had in place and what her goals or wishes and things like that were. And while I was in the meeting, the gentleman across the table from me said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing now?" I'm like, "Well, you know, I moved back here. I've got a master's degree and no job. I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to figure it out. And I'm going to be by my mom to do that." Yeah. And he said, "Well, we're having like a recruitment dinner with a free steak meal down the road, if you want to come to that." And at that point in my life, if someone was offering me free food, that's all the more you had to say. I was in.
Hey, I don't know about you, but at this point in my life, it still gets me. I'm like, all right, fine. What are they serving?
Right. I'll listen. What do you got? Right.
Yeah.
I went to it and I learned about the profession, and it seemed like a noble one. Seemed like one that the harder I worked, the more people I could help. It had some flexibility with its schedule. So if I wanted to be with family or needed to be with family, I could do that and still maintain it. And so I jumped in. And I'm actually, you know, when I first got started in 2007, 2008, was with a different company than I'm with now. But it was nice. It allowed me to be near home. And eventually, my mom did pass away. And when that happened, I sort of reevaluated where I wanted to be and kind of how I wanted to do this line of work. Cause there's a lot, as you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Yeah. And I ultimately ended up moving to Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm at now. I'm working for the gentleman who started the firm that I now run, and he became my mentor and brought me up to where I'm at right now. So kind of a twisted journey, but we got there.
Well, no, and I feel like many financial planners or financial advisors that I've met along the way, I mean, you know, different things bring different people into the industry overall, whether it's in the case of yourself, whether, you know, there's a family need and you kind of were introduced that way, or whether it was, you know, somebody, you know, you were raised into the business, right? There's a lot of different stories, but there'll be some people that watch this program that will, you know, they're thinking about what to do next with their life. They're thinking about, you know, for context for everybody that's watching this, you know, 2022, we're recording this tail end of the pandemic, and we're really a lot of shifts going on in the marketplace and the economy, a lot of uncertainty for many people, right? And they're maybe considering financial services as a career, or maybe they haven't considered it. I mean, what kind of things would you tell to that new crop of advisors?
Yeah, it's a very rewarding career. You can leave meetings with people and talking with people, and they're genuinely thankful for the time they spent with you, for feeling like they're more in control, for feeling like they have a plan. So you can get a lot of fulfillment from it, but it's not complicated, but it's not easy. You know, one of the things that when I first started was I had a sticky note on my desk, and it more or less said, you know, do one thing every day. And that was my reminder that whether it was make a phone call to somebody, get educated on something in the industry, you know, go door knock on somebody if that's what it took, you know, to try to make an introduction or networking. But it was activity, right? And I think for anybody that's going to get into this line of work, you got to be willing to put the work in, like anything, you know, have a plan, surround yourself with good people. And if you do the right thing, I think karma in the end will carry you across the finish line. And that's a little bit about what I spoke about in my part of the book. But yeah, I think it's an amazing career. So, and it's hard. It's hard to find younger advisors. I know that a lot of our clients are the average age. We have 5 advisors right now, and all of us are between the age of 39 and 45, which is really odd. Most and people
that's very young, by the way, for industry. So when you say that's odd, that's really young for a firm, like in like current metrics, I should say.
Oh yeah, because it's tough. It's tough for new people to get started and to be brought up. But I know that our clients sort of like that because they feel that we're going to be with them for a while. It's kind of like, you know, if you had a doctor and they were 1 year away from retirement, is that who you want to hitch your horse to? You know, you want someone that's going to see you through and you know, take you all the way. So being young, I know sometimes can be viewed maybe as a disadvantage, but you know, I've been doing this for 15 years now and have a lot of experience. I think now I can kind of look at my youthfulness, which isn't quite the way it was 15 years ago, but my youthfulness compared to the industry standards a pro for me versus a con.
I like how you said that, how my youthfulness wasn't what I'm going to take that one from you, man. That's a good one. My youthfulness. Awesome. And then also, I mean, when you think about comprehensive planning, you're also working with, you know, multi-generational planning, right? So across generations. So when you're doing that, it also is helpful to maybe start those dialogues, you know, earlier on when you know, they're kids, right? So that they know they can be introduced a lot earlier to the systems and to the people and to have that kind of trust. I remember, you know, when I was a financial advisor, that's one of the things that I focused on in the past. And I remember like when I, you know, I started at a certain age and I have in my youthfulness, Matt, and I'd have, you know, little kids that would come in and I'd be like, no, bring them in for the meeting. And then 5 years later, you're like, oh my gosh, like what happened? Like kids grow fast, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you owe it to if the parents are the client and the kids are coming up behind, with proper planning, there's going to be hopefully something left behind. Yeah. And I think the parents would love to know that it's in good hands and they want the children to make good choices. And financial literacy and education, let's face it, isn't rampant, you know, for kids to be able to get that information. Or, and I say kids, I mean you know, young adults even, you know, it's tough. And so we're really big on the education side of it. Cause I think if you can educate people into making good decisions, it becomes pretty clear what to do. And then you can stick to those plans. And part of that is, you know, I tell people all the time, if they want to bring in their family into the meeting and have a conversation, that we can, you know, we can mediate that and help bring them up to speed as much or as little as they want, but something's better than nothing.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, the first time that they're really even introduced to investments, which I think is a big mistake and a big problem, is when they maybe have their first job outside of college or whenever that is, that a 401k is offered or something. And they get this sheet in front of them, check some boxes and then put some money in. They don't necessarily know. And I know that, you know, the advisors that work with 401ks and are, you know, involved in that process do their best. But it's like, man, there's such a missed opportunity for people to maybe be educated much earlier on. And speaking of the education piece, I want to just maybe pause for a moment here. And I want you to tell us a little bit more about Midwest Financial Group before we go on, because I do want to go further into your process and kind of the ethics behind what you do and how you help clients. And then, of course, we'll talk a little bit about your writing in the upcoming Mission Matters book. And for the audience, I'll tell you in advance, we're not going to do a deep dive today on Matt's chapter. But don't worry, we will be bringing him on for a second part of this interview where we'll do nothing but a deep dive on his writing alone. But I thought it'd be great to get Matt on the line today to start introducing him to the audience and also learn more about Midwest Financial Group. So again, just to circle back on that, maybe pause for a moment and tell us a little bit more about your company.
Yeah, so we're based in Madison, Wisconsin, although we help people all over the U.S. now because not everyone stays here thanks to the cold winters. So we've got clients all around. And we're a values-based financial planning firm. And what that means is that we start with the question, what's important to you? You know, what are your goals? What are your values? And how do we tie that into the financial planning that we do? I say all the time that, you know, saying that you're a financial advisor is a lot like saying you're a doctor. It's sort of a generic title, meaning, you know, you could be a chiropractor or a heart surgeon, but you don't do the same thing, but yet you could still be a doctor. And it's the same way in our industry. You know, you can be an insurance representative, you could be a money manager, you could be a comprehensive financial planner, and you can all use sort of the same jargon. But for us, you know, we've built our firm to sort of be a one-stop shop for holistic planning. We meet people before we engage with anything. We start by developing a plan, and that plan's going to look at, you know, cash flow and budget and investments and insurance and protection and taxation and social security and passing money on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. We put that all into a plan. And then we say, hey, if you'd like help implementing that, we've got a team full of five certified financial fiduciaries. We've got a Medicare specialist. We've got a CPA and a tax team. We have an insurance specialist. So we brought everything together in one place in hopes that clients would really buy in to the fact that all of that needs to work together. And it's easier to do that if it's all in one place. And I think the people that we help really enjoy the fact that they can go to one spot, get all of that, you know, have that unbiased advice, and they've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And this idea, I want to kind of maybe, I don't want to assume that everybody understands this concept of comprehensive planning and what that means. So maybe let's take a moment and kind of maybe juxtapose what you just described with maybe some of the common experiences out there for maybe a firm that doesn't necessarily specialize in the comprehensive side of things.
Yeah, you know, it's not a knock against doing it other ways.
Not at all, of course, not at all, at all.
But for us, what we see a lot is there's financial advisors who just manage money. So you bring them your assets for a fee or for some sort of rate. They're going to go out there and they're going to put together a portfolio and they're going to check in with you once or twice and do that. Or, you know, some people just sell insurance solutions as part of what you need for overall planning. But really, the difference that we do is we tie it all together. You know, the right hand, the left hand need to know what they're doing. You know, it needs to be looked through the lenses of taxation planning. It needs to be looked at through gifting and protection. And it all of that should work together. The portfolio is part of a plan, but it's not a plan. You know, the insurance is part of a plan, but it's not a plan. And so I think the difference for us is that we really are trying to be the quarterback of the team, right? And make sure that everything is pointed in the right direction. There's things that we're going to be hands-on with. Mm-hmm. There's things that we're just going to, you know, coach to, speak to, and support. But our goal is to really be there and try to organize someone's financial world so that they don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. And this reminds me of kind of my early career. So my early career, I was strictly in the investment side of things, right? So I was a trader and just strictly investments. That's all I worked on. After I progressed in my career, I got curious about what was going on in the rest of the industry. And that's when I went through that, the CFP process. And that's when I became a real planner, I feel. And as I was going through all of that learning and everything else, and just the thousands of pages of knowledge and really that whole boot camp feel of getting exposure to all these different areas, I realized how much I didn't know, even though I'd been in the industry for a long time and I did great work on what I was supposed to be doing, right? At that point in time in my scope of what I offered to clients. But as I wanted to further my skill set and do some different things, I realized, wow, like there's this whole world of estate planning I had no idea about, all this other financial planning I wasn't like that I didn't really even understand at that point. Doesn't mean I was, and the reason I bring this up, by the way, is because as you said, we're not knocking any advice. There's just different setups and there's different things and different specialties that people pursue based off of interest or the company they're with or insight. And what I find unique to yourself and which is challenging, right, is to really offer a comprehensive solution. And I just think something like that for the right type of client that's looking for that, I mean, it's just such a benefit. And in my opinion, it can be even difficult to find sometimes.
Well, and you know, it's hard to be a master of all. And that is why we have a team, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Each of us bring a little bit of an overlap as well as a unique area of expertise. And we don't all have to stay up on everything. We can lean on one another. We can pull from the best parts of the whole. Yeah. And it's taken a while. I mean, when I moved up here in 2008, there was a receptionist and two or three advisors, and that was it. And now we've got a team of 20 some people. So, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but I do think that's where the industry is going. That's what people are looking for. They want a plan. They want one place that they can go to, they can trust. You know, they want to know that those people are going to be there for a while to help them. So that's why we very intentionally have built it the way that we have here, and it works for us.
Awesome. It's a great story. And so switching focus slightly now, want to talk about the book a little bit. And again, as I mentioned before, we'll be bringing Matt back on the show to do a deep dive where we'll go deep into the writing, but maybe just give us a flavor of what you plan to present in the upcoming book.
I mean, the word plan, obviously, you're going to hear a ton because it's ingrained in me and what we do. And you know, mm-hmm. I think my chapter is going to be titled, you know, Planning for Success. And it just really comes down to, it's not just in business. It could be in any area of life. It could be in being a parent, you know, coaching a team, running a business, being part of a business. But, you know, breaking down the steps that I think anyone should do, like I said, regardless if it's a corporate setting or a personal setting, you know, and defining your goals and building your team, if that's people in the office or your spouse and family or whatever it might be, you know, putting together a plan and executing it, checking it every once in a while to make sure that it's working. And then, you know, eventually where do you maybe step out and hand that over to the next people in line? And so, you know, I talk about that because I've been involved, like I said, you know, through helping my mom and planning on a personal level, through building a business and doing it here, being active in athletics and sports and running organizations like that. So, like I said, I think the themes hold true across the board for entrepreneurs, for people, and, you know, in the business setting too, it certainly holds true.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's a great story. And one of the reasons why I was excited to bring it to our audience, because I feel like, well, at heart, I'm a planner. I mean, I've been in media now a long time, but But at in my heart, I'm just a planner. Like I plan everything. that's just like you said, it's ingrained in you. I don't know if it's after all those years of planning other people's lives or working with them, but to where you just get, you have to plan. It's one of those things. And for those of you out there that are like, oh, I hate planning or I'm not a planner. Well, that's why you work with the financial planner, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. You know, I always say do the things you enjoy and offload to other people the things that you don't, right? You know, things you're good at and the things that you're not. And finance and in our world, as you remember, changes really quickly and it's hard to keep up on it. And if you enjoy it, wonderful. You know, maybe just get some support in the spots you don't know, but a lot of people don't enjoy it. And I do. So good for me. And, it's helped me in my own personal financial planning. In fact, I remember when I told my parents I was going to go into this line of work, the one thing they said was, hey, you know what, even if it doesn't work out, the knowledge that you'll learn about your own personal finances at an early age is invaluable. And it did work out, but they're right. You know, it's hard to get that information. So I get it.
Yeah. And so one other point that I do want to bring up is just this in your planning process in general is just the idea of a values-based approach and planning for somebody's maybe goals or objectives. Because sometimes I feel like sometimes why some people don't necessarily always work with planners, or they don't necessarily always even see the value, even though once you're on the other side of it, I mean, always somebody's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I did this. Like that always happens, but they feel that sometimes they're being put in this maybe mold or they're like, there's a one size fits all. Like, can you talk about like the idea of what it means like to plan for a goal, whether it's financial or otherwise, just in your own words?
I think the easiest way to think about that, because I hear this question a lot, how much money do I need to retire?
Yeah.
And as if there's this magic number out there.
I love that one. It's like, pick a number out of a hat.
And that's the thing. It's different for everybody, right? I mean, depending on your goals and what you want and, you know, what you'd like to see happen when you're not here, protecting a spouse or family, you know, it's what's important about money to you. Like some people, if your goal is just to have more, you'll never be happy because you'll never have enough. But if you're trying to retire early, why? Well, do you want to spend time with people you care about? Do you want to volunteer and make a difference outside of your career path? Do you, you know, why do you want to do these things? What's important about it to you? What are your values? What are your goals? What makes you tick? And, you know, asking those questions and getting people to look at their finances, their life, the things that are important to them, is really powerful, because I don't think a lot of people stop and ask themselves that question. They just put their head down, they go, and they just assume someday they'll stop. But they think there's some magic number they have to hit or something like that. So I think it really comes down to making people understand what it is they're passionate about, and then aligning a plan to help them get there that involves their finances and other things as well. But you know, some of the most important conversations that we have with clients have nothing to do with stocks and bonds and taxes and stuff like that. You know, it's the touchy-feely things. It's making them look at things differently. I mean, I joke all the time, we're part-time financial advisors, part-time relationship counselors, part-time, you know, secondary parents to bounce ideas off of. I mean, you wear a lot of hats in what we do, and I enjoy that. But I don't know that every advisor takes that approach. We do. And once again, that's okay. But I really think that if you can get people seeing and viewing their finances and their future and their, you know, their legacy in a different way, it's really powerful.
It's great. Well said. Well, Matt, I just have to say it's been awesome having you on the show today. I'm excited to get you back on the show to do the next episode once the book is live and out, and we'll do a deep dive into your writing and go further. But for now, if somebody is watching this or listening to this and they want to follow up and learn more about Midwest Financial Group or to connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I would say, like most places, our website's a great thing. MFG, Midwest Financial Group, mfgteam.com. You can read the bios about the different people that we have, the different ways that we help serve, our values, our approach to helping and things like that. Like I said, you know, we are based here locally in Madison, Wisconsin, but you know, happy to work with clients, especially after COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working with more and more people that maybe I never sat in the same room as before. And yeah. I don't know that before COVID I would have ever expected that. But the fact is that people, you know, need help and they reside anywhere. And if we're a good match for them, then we can make that work. So yeah, check out our website or you know, contact us via there and we'd love to talk more.
Wonderful. And to the audience, we'll put all that information in the show notes so that you can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time listening to a Mission Matters episode or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share, you know, their mission, their purpose, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn and gain and how we can grow together from that info. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button. We have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Matt, really has been a pleasure having you on. Can't wait to have you back and can't wait to work on this book with you. So thanks again.
No, thanks, Adam. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.